Time to check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, you've cautioned us to take news that comes from the Kremlin with a grain of salt, but when an arm of Hamas said Israel was responsible for that Gaza hospital bombing, even Western media outlets just ran with it immediately, and now look what's going on.
Bob, yes, indeed. I mean, I think you think that we would have learned from the coverage of Russia's war on Ukraine. And that's why, you know, I'm sort of astounded when I look at the stories about Hamas. And I think, you know, when we hear, you know, you look on the media, I've seen this a lot on the British media, they'll quote, they'll have a Palestinian reporter, you know, allegedly a reporter. And I've gone and tried to do some research on these reporters. I can't find any reporting that they've done from, you know, before the past 2 weeks. And, you know, we have to remember that just like Russia, the Palestinian Authority is totalitarian. There's no freedom there. You know, even in Israel, one day after Hamas's invasion, over a week ago, the Israeli press was criticizing the government. And that's very healthy. That's what you see in a democracy. And that's what you see here in Ukraine as well. And this is the fundamental thing. You know, this is the struggle of societies that, however imperfect, insist on being free. In the case of Israel, there's the other dimension. They are, you know, it's a nation of the Jewish people, which, by the way, it's a very tolerant country. And they're, you know, Christians and Muslims and people who are not religious live there in freedom. You know, I've been to the city of Nazareth, which is a mainly Arab, Muslim and Christian city within Israel. And it is a place of freedom and diversity. Just like, for example, here in the city of Odessa, where I am once again today. And I was just taking a walk through the book market, which is this beautiful outdoor place, several city blocks, maybe about a dozen different book stalls, and then a dozen coffee stalls. And people are sitting and standing and drinking coffee, having a smoke. You have, you know, they're selling old books, but they're also selling new wave coffee, cappuccino and fancy filter coffee. And just a very pleasant atmosphere. And there was a piano outside, a piano, and it said in Ukrainian, English and Hebrew, please, we invite you to sit down and play some music. And so just a very lovely and open society here. You know, I was describing Odessa previously. I said it reminds me a bit of New Orleans and Miami, but I was missing something. And I think as I look around, maybe the city of Torino in northern Italy, but which is the former royal capital of Italy. But there's a grandeur to Odessa. There's ornate statues holding up balconies. These fancy arcades with old wrought iron from the early 1900s. And it's there is this everything's a little bit tired from the salt, you know, the breeze from the sea, the salty breeze, which sort of refreshes the people but makes the buildings tired. And like all Ukrainian cities, it's clean, but it's not like in Kharkiv. It's a beautiful, picturesque, well manicured lawns in the parks. Odessa is a bit wilder. And so it's interesting to see how each of these cities you know, has their own identity and soul, but the main feeling is a sense of freedom. As I walk through the city and you see people playing cards or backgammon in the parks, it's a pleasant place, and it's been quite calm for the past the past couple of weeks. There have been no Russian attacks, but we did start to have yesterday, for the first time in a while, that regular chorus of air raid alarms. And I was taking a walk with friends after dinner to a park overlooking the Battery and the Odessa port and the Black Sea. And, you know, it's, you think about the history here. I mean, that same Black Sea was famously explored by the ancient Greeks. And Odessa takes its name from Homer's Odyssey, from Odysseus, because in Homer's fictional stories, this is where Odysseus sailed in his adventures. Jason and the Argonauts, all these great legends. This was part of that history. And as we looked at the port, you know, that lately has been one of Russia's main targets to cripple Ukraine's ability to ship grain around the world. And we were looking at the port, and a girl in our group, she said it made her sad to see that port so quiet. She lives nearby, and she said in the time of peace, it was always noisy, round the clock. You could hear the cranes and the ships. She said her favorite lullaby was the lonesome sound of the foghorns, and now only air raid alarms. And This girl, she's from northwestern Ukraine, a land of forest. She said she misses the forest, but she loves the sea. And she remembers as a kid she had seen photos and paintings of lighthouses. And that inspired her to say she wanted to move to Odessa one day. And she spoke of this idea of the light, the lighthouse, this idea of being a light for others. And that's what Ukraine must be in this time, you know, standing for freedom. And the same story in Israel, as we were talking. I mean, these are the things that people talk about every day here. And then she spoke of her anguish and not be, you know, being able to see the Black Sea, but not being able to enter it until this past August. It was forbidden to go in the sea because of the Russian sea mines. But in August, the local authorities were able to clear an area of the sea so people could go in for a swim. And she described how the first time she entered, after more than a year of not being able to go to swim, you know, in her Black Sea, she just started to cry. She was so happy to be back in the water. And she said, looking at the sea there last night in the dark, she said, "They took that from us. I hate them more than I could possibly hate anything." And so this is the emotions of one example of the emotions of the people in this time of heaviness. And then another friend approached us while we were talking, and he's on a break before returning to the front lines. And he was holding a tiny kitten, which he was calling his combat kitten. And he had bought the cat here in Odessa to bring back to the trenches to eat the mice. And so, you know, even as you sit there in a calm park, you know, talking about the war, it's hard to imagine, you know, just how truly awful life is in the trenches. And, you know, he was saying how they're overrun with mice. And so one of the tools of war is having a cat to keep the trenches clean. And so you see all these things coming together on one evening here in Odessa.
I love your descriptions of everyday life there. And when you paint those idyllic pictures of Odessa, it's hard to believe a war is still going on. Does that ever strike you as ironic?
Well, in a way, yeah. But even as Inga was the girl was telling me yesterday, you know, it's a reminder always, because that port should be noisy. It should always be 24 hours around, you know, around the clock. So moments like that. And then my friend, the soldier, had a bottle. It was a Coke bottle, and he passed it around to us, and half of it was filled with brandy. So yeah, you do have these moments of where people need to have a moment to rest and relax, and even that's. You know, I think of how Ukrainians go to the Carpathian Mountains to get re-energized. In fact, I have friends, Americans and Ukrainians, that in 2 weeks are having a small retreat for wounded soldiers in the mountains. And they're going to have psychologists there and physical therapists to help them heal. And this is, you know, I think we hear often people in the West who you know, well-intentioned and want to help, they talk about the rebuilding that will happen in Ukraine in some future day after victory. And I don't think that's really accurate, because the rebuilding is happening every single day here. It's when people fix their shops and then rebuild themselves and heal themselves. We have, you know, there's some of the bad stories in the past 24 hours. The farmers that are working in eastern Ukraine in the past 24 hours, several of them have been killed by the landmines. So even as people try to have some normalcy, these threats are all around. And by the way, in the past 24 hours, the Russians have bombed Zaporizhia City and Dnipro City twice, yesterday and today. And these are both daylight attacks. That is something unusual. But we still do not see a massive Russian long-range assault on Ukraine again since Ukraine hit Russia's Black Sea Fleet naval headquarters over a month ago.
Joseph Lindsley, as always, we appreciate your accurate, factual reporting, as we were talking about at the beginning of our conversation today. And as you know well, Joe, in war, truth is the first casualty. More tomorrow. Be safe.
Bob.
Thank you.
Until tomorrow. Thank you.